You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
I'm holding us up. 1 Samuel 10, verse number 20. Notice what the Bible reads, reading out the New King James Version. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, this is for to present Saul to be the first king of Israel by the demand of Israel. God was Israel's king. But Israel sadly wanted to be like the other nations. The other nations had kings whom they could literally see. And so Israel wanted a king. And so God is, if you will, giving Israel what they wanted. And so now Samuel is bringing all the tribes to Israel to present this king. Verse 21. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, "Has this man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hidden among the equipment." Notice the humility of Saul. Said, "There he is, he's hidden among the equipment." So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" So all the people shouted, notice this, and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty. In other words, y'all have a king now. And since you have a king, things have to be done a certain way. Because this is about to now be a kingdom. And if there is a kingdom, there must be a king to rule or have dominion over that kingdom. Now, on a side note, Israel did not recognize that in having a king, that this king would require taxes of the people in order that he might live a certain kind of way. Amen. See, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, you know, but they wanted this. And so God gave it to them. And so Samuel, the prophet, explained to the people, because remember, Israel came out of Egypt. They were slaves. They were in bondage. They were not used to having anything. They didn't know about having anything. And so now they're coming into royalty. And whenever you come into being a royal priesthood, you need to be taught. You need to be taught how royalty act, how royalty talk. Come on, somebody. How you carry yourself as a royal person. Oh, Lord. Because you can't carry yourself any kind of way if you have royalty attached to you. If you do, you make the king look. Oh, you make the king look bad. Right? And so he wrote this book and he laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. We're getting down to our primary text. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And valiant men, strong men, loyal men, went with him. Notice, church, whose heart God had what? Touched. Now they valiant men. They strong men. They're fighters. They're warriors. But God touched their heart to go after Saul or to follow Saul. Because remember, Saul about to be king. He gonna need protection. He gonna need a whole lot of things. He gonna need people to stand with him. Come on, come on, come on. Every leader needs someone who's willing to stand with them. Oh, come on. To follow them, as we used to say, through the thick and the what? Thin. Through the good and the bad times. And so they could follow, notice, church, because God touched their heart. God dealt with them. From this day forward, y'all should follow Saul. And so they left and just started following. So, sort of like a portrait of how them disciples, when they saw Jesus and they went after him, they followed him. Some left their business, stopped what they were doing, and they followed him. And so notice verse 27. But some rebels said, some children of Belial said, how can this man save us? Do y'all see that? See, God touched people's heart to follow him, but everybody didn't follow him. Uh-oh. So they despised him. They didn't even really know him. Come on, I'm teaching good already. They didn't know him, yet they hated him. They hated him. No, notice the negativity. And Saul heard it. The implication is that he heard it. But some rebels said, how can this man save us? What can he do for us? How can he help us? And they despised him. And brought him no presents. We ain't blessing him. We ain't being good to him. So he have men following him, right? Whose heart God has touched. But he have men who are not just hating him, but they are displaying their hatred. Y'all got to hang in here with me today. So they despised him. And wouldn't even bring him no presents. But this is what I want us to see. All of this is taking place. Now some of us would have... We'd have went off on them men. Come on, come on, come on. We would have saw how valiant or strong those warriors were. Because we'd have told them, okay, y'all first job is to deal with them folk. Kill them, do something with them. I don't want to see them no more. Because of what they're saying. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't let those who are hating him or mistreating him. Listen to me, church. He doesn't let that worry him. Saul keeps doing what he's doing as if they haven't said a word. Y'all know how we get so disturbed by what people say. He heard them, but he didn't allow it to affect him. Come on, somebody. Notice what the Bible said. But he held his peace. Look at your neighbor and say, the subject this morning. Hold your peace. Ooh-wee. Look at one more person. Just tell him, hold your peace. And let's give God a tremendous hand of praise for the word of the Lord and the text on this morning. Hold your peace. Come on, somebody going through something. You need to hold your peace. You don't come on. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to allow it to get next to you. You don't need to stress out over it. Come on. What I need to do, Pastor? Hold your peace. Hold your peace. We're going to teach on this one this morning. Because we've heard folks use that old saying that I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That's not always good. That's not always wise. Am I right about it? I read the entire verses that I read. Because out of this verse, the Lord wanted us to see something that's important. He wanted us to see, to note, to take in, to recognize, to understand the humility of Saul at the beginning. Notice how at the beginning, this whole ceremony, if you will, is taking place so that he might come forth and the light shine upon him that he is to be the first king of Israel. Yet at his own party, if you will, Saul is standing somewhere because he is so humble that he really doesn't want the attention. Come on. Saul was the type of person that, no doubt to him, this could have took place in private. And Saul would have been all right with that. We can do it somewhere and we don't have to have all of this grandstanding and so forth. Because he was that humble of a man. This is his story. You remember I read last week when his father Kish, donkeys went missing. He told his son Saul to get a servant and go find the donkeys. And we noticed that Saul didn't talk back to his father. He simply received his father's instructions. And he went to do what his father had asked him to do. Humility. Humility. Once he got in the presence of Samuel, the prophet, Samuel himself began to give Saul a set of instructions as to what he needed to do until he hear back from him. Saul was so humble, he walked in such humility that even what Samuel told him to do, Saul received the instructions and he put them into action because he was a humble man. Oh, but let me talk. As great as his start was, that being one of humility, his ending was not good. His ending was not good because Saul became unfaithful. Saul became prideful. Saul became puffed up in himself to the point to where he then started disobeying even what Samuel had asked him to do. Oh, Samuel gave Saul some specific instruction as to what he wanted him to do. But by this time, I'm preaching to some of y'all, Saul had got so puffed up in himself, he had got so self-important that he felt he didn't need to obey Samuel. If he didn't want to do what Samuel told him to do, then he didn't have to do it. He could ignore Samuel's instruction, and his ending was one that was terrible. God stripped the kingdom from Samuel, and I come to tell somebody today, whatever you do, when God is elevating you, you must remain humble. You can't allow yourself to get puffed up. You can't become more important than you are. Oh, some of them ain't clapping. They're not standing because I'm talking to somebody in here. Calm yourself down and recognize that though you have some authority, you are still yet under authority. Come on, come on, come on. And y'all have seen folk get blessed, get the big head, get blessed. Somebody ought to be giving me one clap. You seen somebody change for the worse. You seen people get a little money and start acting funny. Start acting what we call bougie, high booty, or whatever you want to call. They change. Come on, I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. I've seen it in church. You give people a position. They were humble before you made them that. They were humble before you exalted them. But when you gave them a position, it went to their head. And now you can tell them, Pastor said he wanted it done this way. And they may or may not do it. And it came from Pastor. What's going on with this person? No longer humble. This was the downfall of Saul. Being puffed up. Come on, it ain't limited to churches. Is it just limited to church? You see people on the job get promoted. Come on, come on. They was on the floor with you. They made them what they call a lead man. Gave them 50 cents more an hour. And now they walk through the plant like they own it. Over in other departments, asking questions and being nosy. You've seen it? Sadly, some folk can't handle positions. Sadly, some folk can't handle authority. It goes straight to the head. But they can still give instructions. They just can't receive them anymore. Come on. We're hitting hard this morning. Look at somebody near you because I can't reach everybody. And just tell somebody, be careful, be careful, be careful. Come on, be careful. Tell somebody else, don't be scared. I'm telling them, be careful, be careful, be careful. Be careful. Because when God does start to elevate you, whether in the church or outside of the church, there is always that tendency because of the flesh to begin to do what Paul warned us not to do. Don't think more highly of yourself than you what ought to think. Because none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived yet. And we all need to stay humble so God will continue using us and he will continue being glorified through our lives and that he can continue to raise us up to be good examples to his people. Know how to be blessed, but yet remain humble. Come on, y'all ain't receiving it like I want you to. Somebody need to calm down. Somebody need to come off the porch. Somebody need to humble yourself. Don't mess up what God is doing. Amen. Now, not just me, right? Y'all have witnessed that as well. Watch this right here. Anybody ever been guilty themselves of letting something go to your head Yeah, come on, raise your hand if you have. Yeah, raise your hand. Now, the people who are not really humble, they're sitting there like, man, if I ever did that. Have I ever thought more of myself? It's a good question, Pastor. Have I ever thought I knew it all? What you talking about? It don't take all that. The answer is yes. But again, before I move on, his ending was one of unfaithful. But I showed you in the beginning where he was very what? Faithful. Whatever he could do, whatever I'm asked to do, Pastor, I'm here to serve. That's how folks start out. Pastor, I'm just here to serve, Pastor. I ain't looking for no position, no authority, whatever need to be done around here, Pastor. If you need any help, just let me know, Pastor. I'm here. That's all I want to say. But see, when, just to show you that I ain't picking on nobody, because we're still in the text. When Samuel told Saul to go to the Amalekites and kill everything. Simple instruction, go down there, Saul, and kill everything. Saul went down there and decided he didn't have to do what Samuel told him to do. He was grown. And when Samuel came, he asked Saul, he said, did you do what the Lord commanded you to do? Saul by now is so puffed up that he said, yeah, I did it. And Samuel said, what is this noise of these sheep and such that I'm hearing if you obeyed me? See, there are instructions that come. This is not hard. Either you do it or you don't do it. Either you did it or you didn't do it. Either you are faithful or you are unfaithful. But the good thing about Saul, because I'm not going to deal with his ending, okay? The good thing about Saul is that we see him deciding, choosing in the main text to be different from his father, Kish, who we established last Sunday, was a man known to worry. Saul made a conscious decision that I'm not going to be like my father. I'm not going to be worrying about things that I can't control. And Saul made an excellent choice to hear these men talking, but to hold his peace. And don't play with me. That takes something. That takes something. To hear somebody talking about you and you standing. Come on, y'all. Come on, sir. Come on, Noonan. Some of us would have said, oh, they don't know who they play. Because the truth be told, now I just got saved, so they don't know who they messing with. Some of you don't know if you that saved or not. To hear somebody talking about you. And you hold your peace. We ain't bringing him nothing. Okay. That takes something. That takes something. You know it takes something. You ought to be saying, Pastor, you right. Some of y'all are saying, amen, amen, Pastor. Because you know it took something because you done cussed somebody out this year. Why couldn't you just hold your peace? Some of the young adults in here, you talk back to your parents. Why couldn't you just hold your peace? Let's deal with peace in the text. Y'all okay? Let's deal with peace in the text. Because the Bible says in verse 27 that he held his peace. He didn't worry about what they were saying. This is one of the biggest deliverance that you can get in life, is getting delivered from people who don't like you and probably never will. Probably never will. You getting them a better Christmas gift ain't gonna change their mind about who you are and how they feel about you. You being nice to them, you complimenting them, don't wait on one to come back. It's clear. They don't like you. Now the sad thing as Christians is when we sit up knowing that people didn't like Jesus and he didn't commit not one sin, yet you can't sleep over who you say don't like you, who talking about you. Come on, come on. Cause it takes something to hold your peace. The old saints used to say this right here. Hold your peace and let God. See, I got some old saints in here. But they told us, hold your peace and let God. And tell your neighbor, can't nobody. Let's get Bishop here, but nobody, but nobody, but nobody fight like God. Come on, can't nobody fight. Can't nobody knock somebody into next week like God. I had to say it in a way y'all could feel me. Can't nobody fight like God. The problem with us is doing our part and holding. The reason God can't deal with some folk enemies is because they too busy dealing with them. See, sometimes you got to know what folk did. You got to know what they planned. But you got to step back and don't let none of it bother. You still got to walk in the room knowing I ain't thinking more highly of myself, but I'm not about to put my head down, put my head between my legs and all. Oh, the devil, I'm not about to have no low self-esteem because y'all are plotting against me. Because if God be for us, let me teach. Because I'm going to have to teach this. Because some of y'all will get excited and then I'll get excited. You'll leave not knowing how to hold your peace. And God would get on to me and say, you should have calmed down. And made sure they understood you. Because it's too important. Because things going to happen in life. Situations going to happen. That you don't like. That you're going to pray against. Oh, come on. I'm teaching too good. The very thing you pray not to happen, the God in whom you serve will allow that very thing to happen. Some of y'all don't realize what Job said after everything became upon Job the way it did. Job said, the thing that I have feared the most has happened or has come upon me. See, being a Christian don't mean that God is going to hold off all trouble. Being a Christian means that God going to open the door for trouble. He going to allow you to be tried. Come on, he was persecuted. He was persecuted. He was lied on. Folks stabbed him in his back. What, was your back too good to be? Right? Number one, to hold your peace, it has the meaning of, oh, how can I say this? I know how to say it, but how can I say it and they receive it, Lord? Oh, just say it. Okay. Keep quiet. Anybody ever want to say something so bad to where it felt like your lip was jumping? Want a word coming out your mouth, but your lip was... I'm going to tell on myself, some of y'all are going to watch me from now on. I sometimes bite my lip. I do. I just be like, that's a sign for me. That's an inner sign. Don't look for it. Because some of you are going to say something to me one day. You're going to, oh, Pastor, biting your lip. Did I say something wrong? But there are times that it is just right to keep quiet, to remain silent. Can I teach you something? Because sometimes people say what they say to get you to go somewhere in attitude, in behavior that you don't need to go. They trying to take you somewhere that you said, I ain't going there no more. I'm not overreacting no more. So I'm just going to keep quiet. And depending on who's trying to get at you, some folk would get at you into the sense where they say, oh, you ain't got nothing to say? Huh? Cat got your tongue? Oh, tell me. And some sisters are having the nerve to talk like that while they walking up on a man. His hand down, he's seeming defensively. Girl, just calm down. Oh, what you? Woo! Some of y'all women should say, help me, Jesus. Number two, it was saying it is to show deafness. To show deafness. Meaning, there are things and people you simply must ignore. I won't give you the attention that you're demanding. I hear you because you got a big mouth. But I'm going to show deafness. Because you don't determine my destiny. So I'm going to show deafness. I don't worry about you saying I can't afford it and I'll never have it. I'm going to show deafness to what you're saying because I ain't asked you to pay for a thing. Come on. So your opinion does not matter. Number three, it is to remain calm. Parents, if you're dealing with teenagers, young adults, there's going to come a time where you're going to need this. You're going to need to know how to remain calm. So you don't go to jail for what you did to your own. You know them old parents, you tell you how I brought you in. Some of my parents know that's real. You talking to your child, they huffing, they puffing. And you about to reach out and... But I need to remain calm. Come on. Finally, number four, it has to do with no anxious movement. No anxious movement. Let me show you why that's important. Notice Proverbs 17. Let's deal with remaining calm for a minute. Proverbs 17. Yeah, some of us, we got to grow up. We can't continue overreacting to everything that happens to us. Yeah, sometimes you just simply got to grow. You got to grow up. You got to grow up. Everything's not going to go your way. And your excuse for behaving like that cannot continue to be that, well, they didn't do such, 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 such. Well, hey, that's part of life. Come on, y'all. I'm teaching good this morning. That's part of life. And part of being mature is learning how to, in one sense, control your emotions. Get control of your feelings. Come on. You can't just go off on your supervisor and then think that you gonna have a job. Out of all the people, they let me go. And you don't know why. That mouth. Oh, I'm about to get in some trouble right here. Yeah, I am. This statement gonna get me in a little trouble right here. Some women are not married because of them. Some could be on the verge of getting divorced because of them. I'll let y'all say it. That's reading, I didn't say it. Proverbs 17. We quiet. Yeah, see, I told y'all, y'all want me just keep. See, I just had to calm down. Just had to calm down. Noted Proverbs 17. We're talking about a calm spirit. If you're taking notes, a calm spirit simply means that you're free from disturbance. You're free from distraction. You know, it takes great focus to remain silent. It takes great focus to say only what God tells you to say. You have to be focused. You have to be single-minded. I'm just going to say what God is telling me to say, and I'm done with it. This is how you argue. This is how you go back and forth. It really takes fools to argue. To really get in an argument with another person, you need a fool. Because when two people keep arguing and neither one are listening to what the other is saying, how is that productive? Somebody have to know when to say, okay, enough is a... I'm not going to keep arguing with you because I can't change you. Come on. And I can't let you disturb my peace. Sometimes it does take. I remember they tried to teach us this when we were young. We didn't understand it. We really didn't want to understand. They used to say stuff like, it takes a bigger person to walk away. You know, in some cases, that's true. Because it takes years to build a good reputation. It only takes minutes to destroy it. Minutes. You can be seen in one light for a few seconds, and that's what people are going to remember for a long time. Can we be honest? Especially in the day and time we live in. The way things go what? See, y'all already go. Y'all don't want y'all pastor going viral for the wrong reason. And the first thing y'all gonna do, girl, hey, you saying I'm finna send it to you. It is pastor. It's him, girl. It is him. You ain't gonna believe it. I tried to tell you he had a temper. You didn't believe me. Just watch this. Proverbs 17 and 27. Notice what the word says. Y'all getting something out the word this morning? He who has knowledge spares his what? Words. See, when you've been taught, you know how to, I could say something, but you know how to hold or keep your word. He who has knowledge spares his what? His words. This is what I want you to see. And a man of understanding is of a calm what? Spirit. When you have divine understanding, you know how to hold your peace. You know how to remain calm. Now, I'm not dealing with a person when a situation is trying to ruffle your feathers. But yet you know how to remain calm in the storm. Come on. Some of us, in time past, we didn't know how to handle storms. Storms always worried us, whether figurative or literally. They always cause us to act out of character, to say and do the very thing we should not say and do, to go from being faithful to unfaithful or believing to doubting. But many of us now, you have been taught so well that you know how to deal with the storm. You are so good at dealing with the storm that people can no longer detect when you are even in one. That's how calm you know how to remain when surrounded by trouble. Yet it doesn't move you the way that it used to move you. Look how calm you are remaining. You were denied, but you ain't crying. Come on, somebody. You know it's going to happen. I said you know that it is going to happen, because all of the promises of God in him are yes and what? Amen. That's where you not remain calm. I don't let trouble do to me what it used to do to me. Because if I've been in the church for years, but trouble still turns me any which way but loose, something, ain't nothing wrong with the word, something wrong with me. Why can't I remain calm? Remember what Jesus demonstrated to Peter? Walking on the water in a storm. Y'all remember that? And Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. What did Jesus say? Come. And listen to me. A man didn't just walk the water. He walked the water during a storm. Come on, somebody. Wind and everything blowing. But Peter is so calm. He is so focused on Jesus that the storm is not even getting his attention. When you know how to be calm, you don't let trouble get your attention. Come on, saints, and cause you to say what you shouldn't say. You can listen sometime and know that trouble is dominating people by the way they talk. They can't remain calm. They get bad news and fall what? To pieces. Do anybody here know how to receive bad news yet remain what? Calm. And some people giving the bad news, screaming, crying, talking loud and confusion. And if you ain't careful, you'll get caught up in them. Without just saying, okay, calm down, take a breath. Everything's going to be all right. Okay, what's going on? Can you tell me what's happening? Now, listen, you need to calm. Hey, is anybody else there you can get a phone to? Yeah, let me speak to her. Okay, thank you. Then you may have to ask that person, hey, is there any way you can go so we can talk? See, they got to get out of that environment where fear is dominating and controlling. Come on. I'm talking right. Notice Job. Because remember we said to hold your peace, peace being no anxious movement. Let's deal with anxious movement. And remember now, I ain't got time to go there, but in Psalm 46:1, this is what the psalmist said. He said, be still. Come on, somebody. And know that I am who? The Lord. Be what? Be still. Be what? Be what? That means no anxious movement. Do you know that we have to learn to be still and know who's in charge? Be still and know God gonna do what he promised. You be still and know all is well. Now, he wasn't talking about be still and know that I am the Lord in the sense of be still, don't go to work. You off the day? No, I didn't go in. I called in. Why are you calling? Girl, I got a lot going on. I'm just going to be still. You missed it. You missed it. Now, listen, we laughing, but a lot of folk quote that and can't be still. Can I tell on myself? I quoted, be still and know I am the Lord while I was moving. while I was over here getting a loan that God didn't tell me to apply for that loan. And I'm over here talking about, be still and know that I am the Lord. While I'm accepting this credit card. Come on. See, it takes maturity to be still. Tell your neighbor, anxious movement equates anxious thoughts. Tell your neighbor, anxious thoughts leads to anxious lips and anxious feet. If you start worrying, eventually, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mind, the mouth will what? Speak. If you don't gain control of your mind, of your thoughts, you're going to choose based upon what's worrying you. Yes, you are. You don't have a choice because you are not in control of your thoughts. Come on, your thoughts are anxious. Let me prove it to you biblically. Notice Job, the 20th verse. I'm almost done. Let me prove it to you biblically. Because some of you are just looking. Job 20. Yeah, you have to. You have to get mature in this thing. Yeah, oh, y'all, I ain't getting it. I think I heard two amen. You have to get mature in this. You've been saved too long to act like that about that. Come down. Come on. Acting hysterical, but doing all that dancing and singing and shouting about I seen him do it. If you seen him do it, you can go through stuff. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. You can go through things that without God, you know I wouldn't have made it through that. Some of y'all are dealing with this morning. You are holding your peace. You are showing that you have been taught. You are showing that you get knowledge and you get understanding. You're demonstrating that. You're demonstrating that. And that's a good thing. Amen. Notice Job 20 and verse number 1. Notice then Zophorath, the Nephamite, answered and said, notice this carefully, saint, therefore my anxious thoughts make me answer. Therefore, my anxious thoughts make me answer. Listen, what do we need to receive from this? That anxious thoughts can make you do something. Come on, good teacher. Anxious thoughts can make you do something. He said, my anxious thoughts make or cause me. It is the cause. Listen, of why I answer or respond. He's not responding based upon prayer. He's not responding based upon the word. Our response to anything we deal with should always be based upon the will of God and never our anxious thoughts. And you know when we're moving because we are worried. Come on, many of us know when we're doing things, we know whether we in the will of God or whether this is just totally me getting in my feelings. Y'all ever heard a person say, well, I got to do what I got to do. Come on, come on, come on. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, I just got to do what I got to do. That should never come out of the mouth of a Christian. What you have to do is the will of God. Oh, didn't go over well. He said, my anxious thoughts make me answer. Can we proceed with the surgery. Yes. See, if you're nervous, if you're fearful, that's why you answered the way you did. Not because you prayed. Come on. Not because God told you that's what you need to do. But your anxious thoughts cause you to respond that way. Is this too tough on y'all? See, if you take a note, it goes like this. I gotta say something. Whenever you feel you gotta say something, you talk wrong. I gotta do something. Whenever you talk like that, you do wrong. I gotta make a move. Whatever move you make will be the wrong move. Because of your anxious what? Thoughts. But notice as we get ready to close in 1 Samuel. Notice as we get ready to close this morning. Notice Samuel. 1 Samuel in the 10th chapter. Notice in our primary verses on this morning. Chapter 10. I love this right here. Let's pick it up at verse 25. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul. Wait, I'm in the wrong verse. Y'all ain't saying nothing. 1 Samuel 10, 25. Some of y'all must not be there. You just reading along. 1 Samuel 10 and 25. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior royalty, wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went to Gibeah. And valiant men went with him, whose heart God had touched. If you're taking note, Samuel saw God moving on his behalf. Come on. Samuel saw God moving on his behalf. I believe this is what encouraged Samuel to hold his peace. Because I already see where God is moving on my behalf. I already see where God is doing for me the thing that he know I cannot do for myself. God was already moving. Here's what's sad. We can see God moving, yet still get out of his will. You can see God moving in a situation and then still give place to worry. Come on, some of us are guilty. You saw God moving in that situation. But because it didn't go away or because it didn't get better the way you wanted it to get better, you opened the door for the spirit of worry. Come on, say, we got to learn from this. When you see God is moving on your behalf, whether you consider it something small or something big, do not despise the day of small beginning. God is working it out for me. I'm just going to remain in his will. I'm talking something I'm going through right now. I see God moving for me, and I'm not going to allow what I'm hearing to get me anxious to the point to where I step out of God's will. How many see God moving in your life? How many see God doing things in your life? And how many know God blesses us even in trials? I said, how many know God blesses us even in trials? Come on, some of your greatest blessings are coming out of your trial. Your miracle is coming out of something difficult that you're going through right now. But out of it, sister, God gonna bring you out. Come on, I just spoke somebody rhema. God gonna do right by you. God gonna do good. He gonna call better to hit you. Are you ready? From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He saw God moving. But when God is moving for you, everybody will not be happy for you. Then he heard the rebels talking. I'm closing. Yeah, let me deal with it. He heard these wicked men. The children of Belial mean wicked men. mean good for nothing men. But remember, Saul was in the will of God. He was headed back home. God had touched the heart of men to follow him. And then, no doubt, I believe that Saul heard these men say, how can this man save us? What can he do? Who is he supposed to be? And the Bible tells us why they said it. So they despised him. Listen, to despise literally means not only to hate, church, but to look down on. They looked down on him. And brought him no gifts or no presents. Come on. And now we're coming to our verse. But he held his peace. He kept going in the direction that he needed to go. He didn't turn back to deal with what they were saying. Why, saints? Remember what I said earlier? Because God was already moving on his behalf. And Saul already could see what God was sending him help. So he just stayed in the will of God. He just kept walking on. As if he did not hear what they just said. And tell your neighbor, the people who followed him, they had to see that. Come on. I'm closing. They had to see that. And we don't even know if one or two of them were moved by it. But see, the leader just kept. He just kept walking. Jeffrey, you follow your leader. Come on. I know Pastor going through some stuff. It ain't getting him down. It ain't getting next to him. He just following the Lord. And the Bible said we ought to follow him as he follow Christ. It ain't getting next to Pastor. So I'm just going to keep following my pastor. He following God. I'm going to keep following him. We're not going to let this stuff that's taking place bother. Woo, come on. It's something to be said about that. To be disciplined enough to stay on the right path. I'm finna drop a word, but if y'all don't get with me, you're not going to be able to receive what I'm about to say. Because what happened next is very special. And we need to receive it, church. If he get out of God's will, if he allows it, Sister Keisha, to disturb him, to become singles a distraction. Now he's over here trying to deal with something that God had appointed him to deal with. That, oh, that's mess all. Leave the mess alone. Let me deal with him. Let me show you that I'm for you. Let me show you that I can fight for you. And as he keeps walking, hold on, listen, something happens. Something happened. Notice chapter 11. I'm closing. Verse 1. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And Nahash the Amorite answered them, on this condition, I will make a covenant with you that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, hold off for 7 days that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, oh, y'all missed it. Set it up so good. They said, let us send a message throughout all Israel. And if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. And you can put out all of our right eyes. What was the thing they said about Saul? How can this man save us? I want to teach you that God has a way of causing folk to need you. who thought they didn't need you. God has a way of sending folk back because without your help, they can't be saved. Come on, I'm teaching a good word. They said give us 7 days, and if we can't find nobody to save us, we'll come out and y'all can put our eyes out. But tell your neighbor, you know what happened. Tell somebody, you know what happened. Tell that to somebody, act like they're glad to see you be in church. Tell them, you know what happened. The word got back to Saul. Oh, I said the word got back to Saul that Israel was in trouble. And the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. And the bottom line, Saul took some men and he dealt with that problem. And the folk who didn't think they needed Saul, they found out we need him. See, be careful who you say you don't need. Be careful who you look down on. Be careful who you say, I don't have to obey him. I don't have to do what he said. You best be careful. Listen. And they knew the greatness of Saul. That through him, God saved the nation. Only thing I want the church to see is that none of this happens if Saul allows what wicked, no good men are saying about him to cause him to get out of the will of God. Listen, or to lose his godly identity. Tell your neighbor, when people are saying all kinds of stuff about you, don't lose your godly identity. Tell somebody else, don't clap. Tell somebody else, when all kind of trouble is at your door and coming through your door, don't lose your godly identity. See, Saul received who he was. Even though they were talking, he didn't lose his godly identity. He kept walking in the will of God. Saints, don't you know we got to do that? You got to hold on to your godly identity even when things are going wrong. You got to know who you are. More importantly, you got to know whose you are. I'm done.